Rusty Wang. Praise the Lord. I'm going to share a quick testimony and then the lights are going to go off for this video. I've been having horrible leg pain since December 22. And this past week has been very difficult, very, very difficult. It's from my back. I have pinched nerves and I have a herniated disc. And it's been so bad. My right foot has been twisted. It's been twisting a bit, but I didn't know I would even be able to drive or stand. I've been limping. It's been very bad. But that I'm like this morning, it's a testimony to God's mercy, to his grace. It's just, I marvel. Right now, I'm not in pain and I marvel. I marvel because it has not been like this week at all. So I'm very grateful to God. Praise the Lord. There's a video that I'd like us to watch after the lights go off. While they're putting off the lights, I'm going to ask us to pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, O Lord, that we may be changed, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, that you may be pleased with us. I pray for grace for all of us to pay attention in spite of the cold. May we hear your heart. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I'm going to reiterate what that video said briefly. Any of our children here, if any of them was born between 1980 and 2015, they will not have any siblings. Except if you, the parents, were super rich and you could afford the heavy fine. It was a fine for having more than one child. Or if you, the mom, you had twins, then they would not indict you. Or if you could run away and hide in the village until delivery, and you were blessed enough to have a midwife who was like Shifra and Puah in the Bible. You remember the Hebrew midwives who feared God and did not do what Pharaoh said. If you had a midwife like that, not only that you hid in the village, but your midwife who happened to know you already had a child did not take the life of your child. Otherwise, between 1980 and 2015, everyone was supposed to have only one child. They had so many commercials. That generation that grew up then, they grew up with that mindset that having one child is the way to go. As a result, They forced women to have abortions. They did forced sterilizations, and they took the lives of children at term. In other words, they deliver them and they kill them. I watched two documentaries about it. It's real. The government did not know the effect, the consequence of their decision when they made it that choice in 1980. They didn't know the consequence it would have in 2023. It took them over three decades, for them to begin to realize this was going to have a bad consequence. So in 2015, they changed the policy and decided, because they realized then that the steep decline in the population that had happened, they didn't anticipate it would be that bad. They didn't anticipate that the number of girls that would be thrown away, because girls were not as valued, boys were valued as priceless. So if they had a girl child, literally, not figuratively, literally, girls were thrown in the trash bin. And so now they have a situation where they have an aging population, which affects their economy and is going to affect it in the future, affects their status in the world, therefore. They have the disparity between men and women. Now they have so many more men than women. And not to speak of course, the horrible effect of the loss of lives of millions of babies and the effect of that on the psyche, the emotions, and the soul of the family, and especially of the mother. Every decision that we make, I'm going to have the tech team put up a slide. Every decision that we make in life has consequences. Whether we make that decision as individuals, has communities, has a nation, every decision has consequences. And some decisions have eternal consequences. There's some decisions that have eternal consequences. We were made to worship God. All of us were made to worship God. This morning we read from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, and we saw what was happening in heaven. How the angels were worshiping, the 24 elders were worshiping, how the living beings were worshiping. But here on earth as well, we were made to worship. You remember when we read the last two scriptures in Revelation 19, two of those scriptures in which John, after God had given him this magnificent revelation through the angel, he was going to worship that angel. And he actually fell down. I imagine he was overwhelmed with what he had seen. And I read through those scriptures again. We read the book of Revelation in our Bible study this month. And I read it over again. And I can imagine why he would be overwhelmed. And he was going to fall down and worship the angel in chapter 19. And the angel told him, don't do it. Don't do it. Worship only God. Again, at the end of the book, chapter 22, once again, he was going to fall down and worship the angel. And he said, don't do that. Worship only God. But you know, it's not only in heaven that God is worshipped. Creation worships God. Remember that Psalm 19? The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they show forth knowledge. There's nowhere, even though they don't speak, there's nowhere their language isn't heard. The sun comes up, rises in the east, sets in the west. Creation worships God. It is true, the fall has affected creation. When Adam and Eve said, no, we defy you, God, because that's what we say to God whenever we assert our will over God's will. And we did that in Adam and Eve, and we still do that today. We are hostile to God when we do that. We defy him. And when Adam and Eve did that, it caused a wrench in creation. Even creation, you know, the tornadoes, the tsunamis, all of the things that happen that devastate lives. The Bible says in Romans 8:22 that the whole of creation is groaning. It is groaning. And there's a reason for that. Can we move to the slide that talks, that's Romans 8, 22. We'll come back to the other ones. Yes, we'll come back to the Isaiah ones. We'll come back to these ones. Oh, okay, it's not there. Sorry, you can go back. I didn't put it there. But Romans 8, 22 says that all of creation is groaning. Ibrahim, can you open that for me, please? Can you help me with opening it? Let's open to Romans 8, chapter 22. Thank you. Romans 8, verse 22. Yes.
For we know that all creation has been groaning as the pains of childbirth right up to the present time.
Thank you. Stay right there. All creation is groaning. Let's read verse 19. Actually, verse 20 and 21. The preceding verses would tell us why all creation has been groaning.
Against his will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay.
Thank you. So creation is going to, when the Lord makes the new heaven and the new earth, we know we wouldn't have all these tornadoes. Things would be renewed. We wouldn't have these devastating earthquakes. But you know, as devastating as those earthquakes and all of these things are, none of them are as terrible as what we did. Because creation did not willfully disobey God. We are the ones who did. We are the ones who told God, you're not the boss of me. And we did that willfully. So we need to repent. While in Adam we did that, the second Adam has come, Jesus Christ our Lord, and he has made a way for us to repent so that there is a way for us to do what we were created to do. You remember the angel that told John, don't worship me. It's not only in heaven that the angels worship the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, and Fee, can you open that, please? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. We're going to see that when Jesus was here in human form, God the Father told the angels to worship him. That's for Fee, yes. Hebrews 1, verse 6.
And when he brought his supreme son into the world, God said, let all of God's angels worship him.
Let all of God's angels worship him. Please read verse 14. Remember, the angel said that I am a servant just like you and your brothers, the prophets. I'm a servant just like you. Please read verse 14.
Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation.
Thank you. So I said that we all said to the Lord, you're not the boss of me. How do I know that? I know it in my own life. But Isaiah 53 also says it. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. I think maybe we keep the microphone between Fee and Ibrahim. I'm going to be giving them to read at different points. Thank you. Okay. Yes. Yes, please.
All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all.
Keep the mic. Yes. Where did we go? We turned our own way. My own way. If I choose my own way, I don't want your own way. I don't want God's way. But God called us to worship him. In Exodus 23, we knew better. We knew better. God said, you shall have no other gods but me. No other gods. And Romans 1 is very instructive. I know we've read it before. I'd like us to read it again. Fini, please, would you read from verse 19 to 21? Please, let's pay attention to this because it's very, very instructive.
They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities.
Actually, start from 19. From the wrath of God.
They know the truth.
Oh, okay. 18.
But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their own wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused.
Thank you. Ibrahim, do you mind sitting here? Because I'm going to have the mic go between the two of you. Yes. Let's pause and look at those verses again. God's anger is being revealed from heaven against the godlessness and the wickedness of people. I watched some YouTube videos yesterday that grieved my heart. Initially, I thought it was from Nigeria, but it was from another country because apparently what people could hear was either Swahili or an East African language. And they were whipping a girl. Three men were holding her and whipping her because she wanted an education. She was forcibly married, a young girl. She probably was younger than you. She was forced into a marriage and she went back home. She ran back home to get her books. And they caught her and they whipped her. They whipped her. Some of you probably have seen it online. I saw also videos of what's going on in Nigeria with the situation, the devastating situation with the amount that they are giving money with money. They're not allowing, for those who don't know, the banks, they're only giving, I think 2,000 is what I was told. They're only giving 2,000 per day, Naira. 20,000. Oh, I was told it was 2,000 by someone in Nigeria. I know. That's why I was shocked. But she said it's 2,000. It's some banks 2,000 maximum and some 20,000. It's unbelievable. And so they ransacked the car of one of the tellers, three boys. Oh, perhaps you saw the video of the man who was naked in the bank, some of you. Three of his sons went to meet. They followed one of the tellers home and they met her at her car and they took all her belongings. They took one of the tires of her car. She's just a teller. She didn't make the decision. There is wickedness in the world, not to talk about what's happening with our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. Sometimes when I watch those videos, sometimes I don't want to, but it helps me in thinking about them and remembering to pray for them. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Look at some of the literature that we have for little children today. I saw a book that children have no business learning about sexuality these days, but some of the literature, it grieves my spirit. I can't imagine what the Lord feels. Ripping, it's like they're raping the children, ripping out their innocence. What may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him. Phoenix Version said they chose not to worship him as God, nor give thanks to him. When we don't glorify God, when we don't give him thanks, when we don't worship him, what happens to our minds? It gets darkened. It gets futile. We may not be aware, but that's what's going to happen. That's really what's happening. And when we are in an unregenerate state before we're born again, we have minds that are darkened. We are dead. So bad things happen when we choose our way, when we assert our will over God's will. And we know God has not changed. In John 4:23, this is at this time, Jesus had already come in the flesh. And he was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4:23. And I'd like Ibrahim to please read it. Let's see what Jesus said about over here. Yeah.
But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way.
Thank you. The Father is looking for. That word is very significant, you know. That God is looking for. You don't look for something that is apparent. You don't look for something that's right there. In another version, it says he is seeking. You only look for something when it's not apparent. God is looking for those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. He is seeking for. He deserves our worship. He deserves that we bring all that we are to him. He's actually looking for, and one day there are consequences that would happen to those who do not worship God. In the Psalms, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. If the Father is looking for those who would worship him, and we are created to worship, then what does it mean to worship? Let's look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. Keep going further on the slides till you get to the green one. Yes, this one. And then you'll go backwards. So this one. Thank you. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. And I'll read it. And it's on the board as well. I want it imprinted in our minds. This is the reason why. This is the scripture Jesus pointed to when one of the Pharisees asked him, what is the most important commandment? What's the greatest commandment? You know, Jesus didn't actually go and list one of those 10 commandments. He went to what the Israelites call the Shema. The Shema, that's Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is where Jesus went to. It summarizes everything in the Ten Commandments. And he said, the second commandment is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. If we love God, we will love our neighbor, because in 1 John, God says, you can't say you love God whom you don't see if you don't love your brother whom you see. And this is what the Lord requires of us. In John chapter 14, verse 13, the Lord said, if you love me, obey my commandments. So love, just as children spell love. Let me ask the adults, what's another four-letter word that spells love to children? Who said it? That's right. Time. Do you agree with me? Children spell love in time, that you give them time. I think that's why they love grandparents. Because grandparents have retired and they can give them all the time in the world. So it's like, I'm going to grandma. Grandma would listen. She would listen. She would look when she's talking to me. Grandpa would look at me. Grandpa will put down to her phone and grandpa will look at me. He will give me time. With our Lord, obedience, obey. Obey. That is love. And in Deuteronomy 10:12, the Lord says, and now Israel, let me wait till we can turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Okay, it says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, to love God, the love and the fear of God go together. It's a reverential fear. It means we value him and we respect him and we do fear him. There is a fear there because he created us. Can you love someone you don't know? You can be kind to someone you don't know, but there is a love that you cannot give to someone you don't know, that you have to know that person to love that person. If we are going to love God, one of the things we need to have is a thirst for him. If we are going to worship him, we've got to have this burning desire to know him, that we may know him, to know how he wants to be loved, what he wants us to do, to obey him. So I said that all of us sinned. I said we defied God and we were hostile to God. You all know the Roman road. We call it the Romans road. There's some verses in the book of Romans that says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Wages, what you pay a person, it's death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And John 17:3 says, this is life, that we may know that you may know that you know the one true God. This is eternal life, actually. It says, this is eternal life, that you know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That is eternal life. And yes, one day, I'm really amazed by what I'm reading, what I read in Revelations. I've read it before, but this reading, it's real. My sisters and brothers, Jesus is coming again. It is real. God will judge all the wickedness in this world. In Revelations 20, it says the sea will give up the dead. It says everything, you know, everyone is going to come back alive for generations to generations, and the books will be open, and another book will be open, and anyone whose name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Before then, the devil, who's referred to as the dragon, in Revelations, he's referred to as the dragon and as the devil, will be cast into the lake of fire along with the beast and along with the false prophet. And it says the torment there never ends. There's nobody in the Bible that spoke more about hell than Jesus Christ, because he's the one who knows how real it is. In chapter 19, the first chapter where the angels were saying, the angel told John, don't worship me, worship God. When they had prayed, we read that chapter this morning. They were praising God because God had judged Babylon, what's called Babylon, whether Babylon refers to all the governments of the world that encourage the evil, you know, exploiting people. It talked about the preceding chapter, it talked about slavery, that they were indulging in luxury and splendor, not things that were essential, and they were carting human slaves. God is going to judge all of that. It's never God's will for anybody to be enslaved. And I don't mean only the slavery here that happened here. There's slavery all over the world, the sex slaves, all that evil. Even the way people treat their house boys and house girls in Nigeria. Those are human beings. God is going to judge. And in that chapter 19, they were worshiping God because the Lord had judged people that judged the wicked. Salvation unto our God who sits on the throne, because the prostitute is now done away with. In chapter 6, martyrs, those who had been martyred, it said that after the fifth seal was broken, there were martyrs under an altar. And they said, how long, O God? How long before you avenge our blood? And the Lord gave them white robes. And he said, wait here, rest yet a little while, until the full measure of your brothers and sisters who are going to be martyred have come in. And at that point, now that was in chapter 6, in chapter 19, the Lord now avenged his prophets and he avenged his people. God is merciful, but he's also just. We were created to worship him. So I've said the bad news about death being our portion when we sinned and when we don't respond to Jesus. I have to first talk about the bad news, which is true, before I can talk about good news. Because, for example, if you have a splinter in your nail, and you know what I mean by splinter, it's maybe a fish bone got in, you were cleaning fish and you got in, and it was too painful to take it out. So you left it in there. It's like, and you left it in there. By day 3, your finger's red and you're still ignoring it. By day 4, it's really infected. It's throbbing now. By this time, it's super painful. And you ignored the truth that there is a splinter in there. And now it's so bad, you've got to go to the hospital. The pain you're going to undergo now is so much more than if you had taken it out, if you had not ignored it. So we have to hear the true news that is not comfortable. That is, it sounds like bad news, but it's truth. That without Jesus, we are going to hell. Without Jesus, our portion is the wrath of God. Before we can now realize that it is good news that Jesus Christ came. And we all know the most popular verse in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God didn't send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He that believes is not condemned, because they have trusted in God's Son. You know that scripture? You know when you hear something over and over again, it becomes so common, you're so familiar with it, that human beings, except we deliberately decide that familiarity would not breed contempt, we begin to treat it with contempt. Yeah, I know it, for God's love, God. But that scripture is critical, because it's not enough to just say, I believe. We have to bear fruits that show that we have repented. Our lives must show that the Spirit of God has come to live within us, that God is the one we live for. Because worship, so I'm saying we were to worship God. Worship is more than the songs we sing. Worship is the way we live, as we all know. So I'm going to talk a little more about how we worship. And today I'm going to talk about how we worship, and subsequently how we worship, and then why we worship, and then who we worship. It's a little bit backwards, but I'm doing it for a reason. So talking about how we worship, Romans 12, can we read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2? Romans 12, verse 1 to 2.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Thank you. One thing I want us to note there, we all know that scripture. I shouldn't say that. A number of us already know that scripture by heart. I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by God's mercies, your bodies. We live in this world in our bodies. So that it means our souls, our minds, everything about us, we are to bring it onto the altar to the Lord. And we are to be living sacrifices. But there is sacrifice there. We're still alive, but there is sacrifice. It means, Lord, I submit my will to you. When I don't feel like it, I will worship. When I don't feel like being kind to someone who's mean to me, because I'm worshiping you, I will do it. You all know that the laws that Jesus gave us are much more difficult than the ones in the Hebrew scriptures. The Hebrew scriptures, that's what we call the Old Testament. You remember an eye for an eye, right? Contrast an eye for an eye with if your enemy slaps you on one cheek, turn the other. That's much harder, isn't it? An eye for you do me, I do you now. But to turn the other cheek, that's hard. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we can obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, it's just reasonable. It's our reasonable service. And he says that we should not be conformed to the world, but we have to transform our minds. And the world is really after us. The whole world system is pressing in for our minds to be in accordance with the system of the world. But we have to resist. And this is only going to be is only going to happen when we submit to God. In the book of James, it says, submit to God, then resist the devil and he will flee from you. The first step is that we submit to God. And so what does it mean to worship? In one of the dictionaries I checked, it said to bend over in homage and giving honor or doing obeisance. The posture of our lives will be one in which, Lord, your will be done. And in worship as well, our bodies, you know, the psalmist said it a lot. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our maker. Let's not think that it's okay to be so lazy that maybe it's once a year I will kneel down before God. God, you know my heart. In my heart, I'm kneeling down. No. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our maker. For he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep under his care. We are to bow before him with our lives, with our music. So I'm going to talk about two aspects of how we worship God, and then I'm going to end. How many of you know we worship God with fasting? Do you like fasting? No. What are some of the reasons that we fast? Yes. To destroy the flesh, is that what you said? To put it down. Yes, to discipline the flesh. Thank you. Another reason we fast. Yes. To have more time to pray. I like that. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. To focus our energy on God. That's right. Anybody else? Yes. To ask for forgiveness. That is very true. That is true. Nehemiah and Daniel did that when they were asking for forgiveness for the whole nation. They fasted and prayed for quite a while. That is very true. But did you all know that you can worship God with fasting? Yeah? In the Bible, and let's go to the very last slide. There's a very old woman, and we're going to do some math here. I did it with my sisters yesterday. We're going to do it. Does anybody, just looking at this picture, can anybody tell who this old woman is? If you're a woman, you can't see it. Okay, you can see. Yes. No. Yes. You said who? Yes. Mommy said it. Okay. That is Anna. That's right. I think we should read the scripture so that we are all familiar with it. Anna was very old. Anna means grace, by the way. Luke chapter 2. And let's go to verse 32. Actually, let's go to verse 36. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. We're talking about worshiping God with fasting. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Heka, let me know when you're there. Oh, I think you've passed it. Yeah. You can ask Uncle next to you to help you. Yes. Okay. Thank you. And please, can we give the microphone to Keke, actually? I'd like her to read. Keke, I'd like you to read verse 36 and read it to verse 38.
There was also a prophet named Anna. She was a daughter of Penu from the tribe of Anher. Anna was very old. After getting married, she lived with her husband 7 years. Then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple. She worshiped night and day, praying and going without food. Anna came up to Jesus' family at the moment.
Thank you. She came along just as Simon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Thank you, Keke. So there are certain things I want us to pick out from here. How old was she? How many years had she been a widow for? 84. So how many years was she married for? 7. So we add the 7 years to 84. That gives us 91. Now, she couldn't have gotten married at the age of 0, could she? So she can't be 91. So say if she got married 14, 16, she's over 100 easily. This woman is over 100. At that time in Israel, did women have status? Were they educated and could they work on their own? What happened with them? If they lost their husband, what were the options they had typically? Marry someone else, depend on a brother, or a lot of them would have to use their bodies, except if they were blessed to have fathers like Job. Do you remember after Job suffered? Job knew what it was like to be a woman who suffered. After he suffered, the Bible records that he gave his daughters inheritances along with their brothers, just like their brothers, Jemima and Keziah, and the third daughter. He gave them inheritances. So if you didn't have a dad like that, it was either you use your body or you had to have a brother. This woman, apparently, she was a widow. We don't have any record of her having relatives, but it says that she worshipped God. Look at it there. She worshiped God with fasting and prayer. She never left the temple, but she stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. When you are a widow, do you have status and prestige? No. So you don't have status. You don't have prestige. Some of the things that we look for. You've lost your sustenance, your husband. And for 84 years, you're not allowing what has happened in your life to determine whether you will worship God or not. You have decided you are for the Lord. This woman really challenges me. We have no excuse not to worship God. I know it's cold in here, but we have food to eat. We are living in this country. Many of us know the countries we came from. We have no excuse. This woman set her mind on Adonai. 84 years, and she was a prophet. I imagine if she's 100 and something, that some of the prophecies God had given through her had come to pass. And she had seen that, she had had that joy. But the greatest joy of all to me came over here, that God revealed his Messiah to her, that she came into the temple. Her steps were ordered by God. She came into the temple at that time when the parents brought Jesus, and Simon had just proclaimed, "Now let your servant depart in peace, that you've let me see your Savior." And Anna was able to talk to people about those who are looking for redemption. God knows those who are seeking after him. Those who are looking for redemption, she was able to talk to them. May we worship God with all that we are, with all that we have. Her unrealized hopes and dreams did not deter her. We have no excuse. So we worship God with fasting and prayer. But I want to put it to you, and I'm going to finish shortly. I want to put it to you that the essence of fasting is to humble us. I'll say that again. The essence of fasting is to humble us. Do you remember when Ahab had sinned? Ahab was one of the, actually, the Bible describes him as the most wicked king in Israel. I think there's one more, Manasseh. Manasseh is the one who made his children pass through the fire. He sacrificed his children to Molech. When Ahab humbled himself, after God sent Elijah to Ahab and told him, this and this and this is going to happen to you, Ahab actually went in sackcloth and humbled himself with fasting. And you know that God told Elijah, "Come, have you seen what Ahab is doing? He's humbled himself. Because of that, what I said is going to happen in his time won't happen in his time. It'll happen in the time of his child." So if his child humbles himself and walks with the Lord, will it happen? No. What about Manasseh, who made his children? I mean, that just, what? He sacrificed his children to Molech in the fire. And God allowed him to be taken captive. They put a ring in his nose. Do you know that when Manasseh humbled himself before the Lord, would you believe that not only did the Lord forgive him, the Lord restored him back to being a king? He also fasted and humbled himself before the Lord. The Bible says in the Psalms that God knows the pride afar off. If we are proud, we cannot worship God. We can't worship God in pride. We cannot. What is the sin that Satan committed? "I will ascend, I will be like the Most High." So pride is a big deal, not only here, but where there was no sin. I mean, there was glory, and pride rose in this guy's heart. "I will ascend and be like the Most High." Pride goes before fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. We do need to humble ourselves before the Lord. So it's not only when we have the church fast that we should fast, which I think we know. We need to fast on our own in worship, to humble ourselves, to ask God, "Show me my blind spots." Because sometimes we don't know. We don't know that we're proud. We don't know that we have some blind spots that are making God resist us. You know, the Bible says God resists. If Keke comes, Keke come. Let's do some resisting. Come. You're going to push and I'm going to push. Push me with your hand as, push me as much as you can. Push me, push me, push, 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 Keke. Come, Raya, come. I think Keke hasn't had breakfast. Mariah has had breakfast. Push me, girl. Push me, girl. Push me. Push me. If God resists us, who can save us? No. We're in trouble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord that we may be able to worship. The Lord is the one, he's the high and lofty one who dwells in a high and lofty place, but also with him that is of a contrite heart and a humble spirit. So it's not only in fasting that we worship God. We worship God in feasting as well. Colossians 2:3 says, 3:23 actually, that whether we eat or we drink, we do it unto the Lord. What was the sin that Adam and Eve did? They ate, yeah, it had to do with food. They ate the forbidden fruit. God had said don't, and they ate. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, it talks about people whose God, let's go there. I think it's important. Philippians 3, and just 5 more minutes, and I'll be done. Philippians chapter 3, and verse 19. And we know this is a joyful letter that Paul is writing, and I think he's writing to in this Philippians, I didn't see him saying anything about I'm so surprised that you are so soon turned away from the gospel. I didn't see him rebuking them about anything. But notice what is happening here in verse 19. Okay, let's start from 18. Thank you. Actually, from 17. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. In some other version, it says their God is their stomach or their belly and their appetite. When we live for this life only, we're headed for destruction. So I'm talking about worshiping God with meals. Do you remember what happened at Passover? At Passover, the Lord told the Israelites, you're going to eat a meal on that day that I'm saving you. After you put the blood on the lentils, you get your staff, you get ready to leave Egypt. You're going to eat that meal in a hurry, but it is a meal. And you get the bitter herbs and you share a lamb if the household is too small. And you all eat. You eat the bitter herbs and it's a meal, right? And he said, I want you to have that meal. Celebrate that meal from generation to generation. You celebrate that meal. And then you have the other feasts. In obeying God, they were eating. Do you know what I mean? Do you remember in Deuteronomy where it talks about the tithe? And we had a study, Brother Bumi took us through that. And he said, come, if you are too far away from the place, convert your tithe to money, come and buy, and then come and eat in the presence of the Lord. That is feasting. What about the night before he was crucified? He called his disciples and he said, they asked him, where do you want to have the Passover? He had the Passover and he said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. And take this drink. This is my blood shed for you. The Passover in Exodus was speaking towards the Passover. He's been our Passover lamb. But it was a meal. And what did we read in Revelation 22 today? Let's go there. I want us to see it. It's blessed are those who are going to partake in the marriage supper. It's a supper. A marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes. Can we actually put it up? Revelations chapter 22, verse 14. Actually, no, not verse 14. I think it's the 19 one. Let me go into my phone here. Sorry. Thank you. 19:9. Yes, 19:9. Thank you. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words that come from who? From God. From God. I can't remember the second place, but this is the second place actually that they're talking about that blessedness. 17, thank you. 1917. Oh, that's the one I read. I read 19. Thank you. 1917. Okay. Yes. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses, their riders. So this one is the judgment of the Lord. But there's another one. But it says exactly the same thing. It's the hallelujah for the Lord. I can't find it. It's verse 7. It's verse 7. So I'll just sing it. Hallelujah for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Hallelujah for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, giving the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. May we be ready. We will feast. Isaiah 25. This is the last scripture, I promise. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And I have to read this one. Isaiah 25, and I'm reading from verse 9. Let's start from verse 6. That's it, from verse 6. I'm going to wait for everybody to turn there. And if you want the scripture references, just text me and I'll send them to you. Or I can send them to Sister Buki. Isaiah 25 from verse 6. I'll wait till we're all there. Okay. Isaiah 25 from verse 6. In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There, he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. This is talking about the end, isn't it? I mean, when he makes a new heaven and a new earth. This is Revelation. This is Revelations 21 again. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. Verse 9. In that day, the people will proclaim, this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings. Amen. Let us pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, because you are coming soon. You are coming again. It's in your mercy that you tell us the truth. It's in your mercy, O God, that you have shown us things to come already. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us, O Lord, to worship you. Help us to love you with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, with all our strength. If there's anyone here who has not surrendered their lives to you, Lord, who has not come to faith in Jesus, touch them, Lord. Touch them in the depth of their soul. Let them know you are real and you are Lord. I pray, Father, no one would harden their hearts against you. Father, forgive us where we have been complacent and taking you for granted. We don't want to anymore. Help us, Lord, that our lives and our minds, our decisions, our will, that, Lord, we will worship you. For you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and wisdom and power and might. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Before we close, we're going to have our communion. Where's Brother Peter? Is Brother Peter still here? Oh, okay.